Father, we thank you for the season and the opportunities we have had to tell the story of you becoming something you created. That you offer such a great deal that you will trade the righteousness of Christ for our sin and reconcile us to yourself. And the true story of Christmas that you came for the reason to die, that you left heaven for us. And as we've already prayed, we ask that we use the next year for your glory, whatever opportunities you give us, that we would honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is another year, just a flip of the calendar. What will happen this year? All kinds of predictions, correct? The Cowboys will win the Super Bowl. We'll have a new president. There will be wars, and there will be rumors of wars. There will be rich people, there will be poor people, and until the Lord comes, the sun will come up every day. God is in charge. Where did the year go? I can't really fathom that it's 2017. I remember when my daughter, who is in her 30s now, began grade school, and they said, "This is the class of 2000, high school graduation." And I thought, that is years from now. And now I look, and it was 16, 17 years ago. What will the new year bring? Well, Christmas is over. Aren't you glad? Well, it's all boxed up, put away. And wait, it's really not over. We're still here. Someone said earlier, Christmas is never over. You know, life is like that, isn't it? As you are young, you think you have a long time to live. And then you look and you're in your 40s or your 50s, 60s. I woke up the other morning. I have weird dreams. And I woke up earlier before the alarm went off, and this thought was on my mind. 70's not too far away. Not 1970. I'm thinking of being 70. That seems so old. I remember when my father turned 50. And I thought, well, he won't be with us much longer. But 50 for me was, what, 3 or 4 years ago? But we put Christmas in a box and we put it in our attic or in our garage and it's over. Someone said life is like that. It's like a board game. After you play the game, everything goes back in the box. Well, we're going in a box. And life is over. The difference between a board game, though, is that you can get the game back out. Once this life is over, we don't get to play it again. Let's look at the Christmas story again. Do you mind? If you do mind, sorry. And see how the Christmas story can, as we look at the new year, looking back, looking to the future, how much time God does give us, how can we reapply the Christmas story? You know, looking back to what Christmas meant to those before Christmas, what Christmas means to us during Christmas, but is there any way to apply it to us in the coming year? Let's read Luke chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Luke, the doctor, who also wrote the book of Acts, wrote the Gospel of Luke. He says, "Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the Word. Therefore, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, it seemed good also to me to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Now, Theophilus, who is this guy? The word means, of course, Theo, God, Philo, lover, God lover. It could be a man with that name, God lover. That'd be a pretty good name, wouldn't it? Or it could just mean writing to all God lovers. So that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Now, turn over to verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you have been highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your cousin, your relative, is going to have a child in her own age," referring to John the Baptist, "and she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And then in verse 46, Mary has a cantata, a Christmas cantata. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. It's a long passage. Now, of course, in the Christmas story, who's the main character? Of course, Christ is the main character. There's also some other characters that we pull out in our Christmas story. But next to Christ, Mary. Let's look at Mary a little bit today. We talk about the shepherds, we talk about the angels, we talk about the innkeeper and Joseph, the wise men a couple of years later. But other than the Christ child, Mary really is the central character of the Christmas story. We've never been shepherds, have we? Have you ever seen a shepherd? Have you ever eaten sheep? Have you ever seen a lamb? Okay, we're making some progress here. We are not going to be angels. Oh, if you want to get my blood curling, put this in your obituary. God needed another angel. There's nothing in Scripture that you were going to be an angel. God's already created the angels. He's done. You are going to rule over the angels. That's a better position. Uh-huh. I've never been an innkeeper. Have you? And I've never been a wise man. Never ridden a camel. And I sure haven't been a pregnant woman. But from Mary, we can learn a lot as we look back at Christmas. We can learn what God wants us to be. We can recommit in the coming year to being what God wants to be. And we can look forward to, let me excite you a little bit, Jesus is coming again. And how we use the time that's left. Now, if you're like me, you ask this question, why Mary? Why did God pick Mary, of all women, why Mary? I mean, surely there were other women in Israel that would qualify. Why Mary? Why did God choose Mary? And I don't have an answer for you other than that's the way God wanted to do it. But we can ask this question, why was God able to use Mary for this holy reason? I mean, here's this girl who, as all young girls in Israel would have known in that day, the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. The voice of the prophets would be ringing in her ears and everyone else's ears. 700 years before, Isaiah wrote, "The Lord Himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and he will be called what? Emmanuel." What does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. Now, looking back, we understand, don't we? We understand more of the story. Isaiah wrote it 700 years, and we know that Mary is the fulfillment of that. The awaited Savior was born. We see the big picture, don't we? But think about the other characters in the story. How about Joseph? His fiancée is pregnant. Men, how would you accept that news? And you knew it wasn't yours. How about Mary's parents? "Mom and Dad, I've got to tell you something. I'm pregnant." "Oh, Mary. Well, I didn't do anything, Mom. It was an angel came and told me about this." "Uh-huh." How about Joseph's family? "Maybe you ought to reconsider, Joseph. You know what kind of woman she is?" Their families, their friends. What about to Mary? We don't think about that very often, but this young girl, probably in her early teens, imagine. And we don't give a lot of attention to Mary, except in Christmas programs. In some traditions, they give high regard to Mary. Some of us don't talk enough about Mary. A couple of things we need to understand about Mary, first of all, is she wasn't always a virgin. No matter what anyone tells you, she had other kids. It's recorded in Scripture. And what does it say in the Christmas story we always read at Christmas Eve? Joseph had no union with her until the child was born. So we could talk about the Virgin Mary to a point. After the birth of Jesus, she had children. We also need to understand we don't pray to Mary. We can, as the book of Hebrews says, we have the right to go to God the Father directly. We don't need to go to Mary so she can bug Jesus to bug the Father. We don't pray to Mary. And Mary was a sinner. She needed a Savior. But we can learn a lot from Mary. What an example for us. She is one of the heroes of the Bible. And as you look, I want you to look into Mary's heart, the heart of a mother. And you see some things from Mary and her example and her heart that you can apply to your life. You're not going to be a pregnant woman. Well, some of you might. You're not going to be the mother of God. But what an example for us. First of all, I want you to see in the story here a heart of fear. Here's a young girl, and she's pregnant. And she knew that she was a virgin. So go to chapter 1, verse 28. Look at that again. Verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Now, how would you react if an angel of God shows up and says to you, "Greetings, you are highly favored"? Right. Well, later her heart turns to joy. But at this point, a heart of fear. Verse 29 says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Wouldn't you wonder? Mary, you're highly favored. Oh, really? What kind of greeting? Troubling in her heart. And when the angel explains to her, she says in verse 34, "How can this be? How on earth can I be with child since I am a virgin?" I mean, you know how that works, right? We won't go into detail, but how do you get kids? Don't look so perplexed, you know. But put yourself in Mary's position. I'm pregnant? How can this be? Fear. An angel. Why do I say a heart of fear? Can you imagine the disgrace? The questions? The shame? Not only to herself, but to her family, to Joseph? How am I going to explain this to my fiancé? Here's this young girl from a small town. Everybody would know. How are you going to hide it? How am I going to explain? Walking down the street, really? God did this? No wonder a heart of fear, and it says she was greatly troubled. But then you see her heart change. Look at verse 30. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." Don't you wonder sometimes what God is doing? How can this be favor from God? But look at verse 46. She says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She heard the messenger from God, the angel, Gabriel, and her heart of fear turned to what? A heart of joy. I mean, she realized, this is amazing news. Greatly favored. And when she understood, can you grasp that thought? The Messiah. Oh, come, Emmanuel. The promised Messiah was in her womb. The mother of the Lord. The Savior. God's promise was in her. I've seen a lot of those bumper stickers that say, "Mary, Mother of God." I don't agree with the theology behind all that, but it does say, "The mother of my Lord." God chose her. God chose to work through Mary. Wow. And so her heart of fear turns to a heart of joy. And then I want you to notice she has the heart of a servant. Look back to verse 38. "I am the Lord's servant." She answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Now, mothers are always servants, aren't they? That's a question that I would like the mothers to answer. Mothers are really good at telling you how hard they served, aren't they? Mothers serve. But Mary, I am the Lord's servant. Whatever you want to do, do it through me. And we're God's servants. Do we have that kind of attitude? Or do we have to understand it all? God, I'll do what you want me to do as long as I get it. And I understand it. But imagine this young girl. I am the Lord's servant. Let's just try that. Everyone say, I am the Lord's servant. Do whatever you want through me. If we could grasp that kind of attitude for the coming year, we tend to want people to serve us, or we want to serve as long as it's how we want to serve, or as long as we see the reason behind it, or we agree with it. But Mary, she didn't really have a clue. I am the Lord's servant, however you want to work through me. She allowed God to work in her, through her. And her cousin, Elizabeth, go back to verse 42. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said will be accomplished. The mother of my Lord. That really blows my mind. That God would use a human being to come into the world. We looked a little at that last week. You would think he would come as some great king in all of his splendor. But here, born to a peasant girl. And God chose this woman who's willing to be his servant to give birth and to raise God in the flesh. Why Mary? Well, there's a lot of women who have hearts of fear. There's a lot of women who have hearts of joy. There's a lot of women who have hearts of a servant. But I want you to see also that her heart was a heart of purity. Don't miss this. She was pure. You know, virgins today is sometimes a rarity. Virgins? Not married? I haven't been with a man. You know, that tells you something about Mary, doesn't it? She is a young girl who is a servant of God, who doesn't understand it all, but she's also living by God's standards. So I would encourage our girls who are not married to live by God's standards. Now, I'm not saying if you have blown it, you're messed up and you're lost. But if you have the opportunity in your young life to live by God's standards, just think how God could use you. Were there other virgins in that day? Well, I'm sure there were. Were there other young girls in that day? And so I ask again the question, why did God choose Mary? And again, the answer is, I don't know. But in God's wisdom, He chose her. This woman, this young girl, to bring God into the world. To fulfill all of those Old Testament prophecies. To make Emmanuel reality. And so Mary, with a heart of fear, but a heart of joy, a heart of a servant, God, do what you want through me, who has kept her heart pure, so that she can be this woman at this time, a heart of praise. Now, we read in verse 42 her cantata. Let's look at it again. Verse 42, verse 46. Now, if you have a heading there, what does it say at the top? Interesting. It says, Mary, please understand that whoever put those little headings in there, that's not the inspired Word of God. It's someone who came along and divided into chapters and verses and put headings so we can find things. But it says Mary's song, but as you read, what does it say, the next verse? Mary said. It's like the angels. We say, well, the angels sang. If you read the Christmas story, they didn't sing anything. They said. That doesn't count as part of the sermon, okay? My soul rejoices in God my Savior. My soul glorifies the Lord. He's been mindful of the humble state of His servant. And she recants what God has done from generation to generation. People will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. And how far does His mercy extend? Way beyond me. He's brought down rulers. He's lifted up the humble. He has fulfilled His promises way back from Abraham that your seed would be the one who would save people from their sins. Just as God has said. Now, what does that tell us? I'll ask you a question and you give me an answer and that'll tell you what it tells us. Does God keep His promises? Do you have to worry and fret about, what's going to happen this year? Is it going to be a nuclear war? No. Read Colossians. You know how the world's going to end? When Jesus comes back. You don't have to have a heart of fear. What's going to happen? What's God going to do? God is in charge. Does God keep His promises? Yes. God is with us. Emmanuel. And like Mary, we have something to shout about, don't we? And you can sing it if you want. We have a Christmas cantata. God is faithful. Now, how do you apply all of that to our lives? Let me just ask a few questions. Any of you have a heart of fear? Any of you have a heart of joy? Any of you have a servant's heart? A pure heart? You say, I've already blown that, and we all have. Well, even if you're working on it, you've already blown it. How can God turn our hearts, not just in the coming year, but the time we have left, to real joy, to real purity, to real praise? Well, I think it begins with listening to the message from God. O excellent Theophilus, I wrote this so that you would have an accurate account of the things that really did happen. In this coming year, put a lot of stock in what God's Word says. That will take away a lot of your fear and turn it to joy. And then once you know that God is in charge, whose servant are you? A heart of a servant. God is with us. So God, use me. God, like Mary. Now, Mary's a one and only case. We understand that, right? It's a one-time event. God is not going to pick one of us to come back into the world through us, male or female. But we can say, God, I am your servant. Use me. However you want to use me. Use me no matter, I don't miss this, what my past has been like. Say, well, I've blown the purity part. Guess I'm done. Well, is there anyone in the house who hasn't blown the purity part? I'll give you a moment to testify. That didn't take long, did it? But you remember 2 Corinthians, don't you? Now that you're in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come. Now you're reconciled to God. And does God count your past against you? Now that you are, if you are in Christ, He has taken your account and given it to Christ and taken Christ's righteousness and purity and credited it to your account. And so like Mary, we should say, in fact, let's say it, repeat after me, I will serve God. I will live by His standards from now on. I will be pure, I will be clean, because I am a new creation in Christ. And then a heart of praise. God is with us, is He not? Look at what God has done. I mean, just think of the past year, how God has blessed you. I mean, I know you've had problems and difficulties and life stinks. But has God been with you? Is God going to leave you? Is God going to move? Will God be with you in the coming year, no matter what happens? Does God keep His promises? A heart of praise. A heart of worship. You know, we call this the Lord's Day. And I want to commend you. You now have perfect attendance at church this year. But why not make a commitment to be really faithful in worshiping God on the Lord's Day through the coming year? A wise old friend of mine, who's not that old, he's younger than I am, Raymond Burchell, I guess, is in youth worship today, said this recently to me. He said, you know, to a lot of people, the church is like a fire extinguisher. We're glad it's there if we need it. Well, if I have a death, I have a sickness, I need a wedding, I need a funeral, the church is there for me. But see, we're called to be the church, not something we go to. But how about our praise daily? I heard it said recently that we never stop worshiping. We think of worship as something we come to praise and worship and we put in our hour and then we're done. You never stop worshiping. You are always making a choice to worship something or someone. It may be the sports, it may be the TV, it may be the couch to take a nap. But who deserves all of your worship? Emmanuel. Isn't your life your real worship? Romans 12, 1 and 2, in view of God's mercy, as you think of all that God has done, present your bodies, your life as a living sacrifice. This is your real spiritual worship. Well, Christmas is over and it's back in the box. Did you miss the Christmas joy this year? The older we get, and I'm not where you are yet, but I tell my wife almost every year, it doesn't seem like Christmas this year. What is it we are looking for? Are we looking for some smell, some package under the tree, still having little kids at home, a feeling? Or do we really grasp the Christmas joy that God is with us? That's what it's really all about. It's not over. And can you imagine Mary as she held the baby in her arms for the very first time? You moms identify with that a little bit better than we men do. I've never heard a woman say that giving birth was exciting and fun. But I've never heard a woman who would say, but it wasn't worth it. As you held that baby in your arms for the first time and looked into that baby's eyes, the joy. But can you also picture in your heart Mary's broken heart as she knew that baby came to die. And the pain in her heart as she was there looking at the cross, looking in the eyes of that baby who was now a man, dying for the sins of the world. You go back to verse 47, and Mary says, and we don't want to miss this, my Savior. As great as an example, as a wonderful lady as Mary was and is for us, she, like you and me, needed a Savior. the gift of Christmas. It just keeps on giving, doesn't it? Who to all who receive Him, receive Christ. You remember we read it a couple of times during the Christmas season from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Verse 18, no one has seen God, but Jesus came to demonstrate God to us. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And He came into the world, but the darkness didn't understand who He was. But to those, verse 12, who believed in Him, who received Him, He gave the right to become children of God. The Christmas story fills our hearts again with joy, not just during the season, but for the rest of our lives. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Don't just rush and put Christmas back in the box. Look again at the Christmas story. Look at the cradle, the manger. But look beyond the cradle to the cross. That's why He came. But look beyond the cross to the cave. Put in a grave. Back in the box. But 3 days later, the cradle, the cross, the cave, conquering King. And from the cradle to the cross to the cave to conquering, defeating death once and for all, He's coming again. And so serve Him. Be pure. Praise Him. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look fully. Look at this year. Look this year. Say, I'm going to keep looking at Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And when you do, the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Let's pray. Father, with the many opportunities that we take for granted, we think back over the past year and how we have allowed You to do some wonderful things in our lives, but also how we have missed some opportunities. As we flip the calendar today, we look forward to being wiser, led by Your Spirit, submitting to You as Your servants, so that our lives this coming year, when we're standing here a year from now, we look back and say, oh, what the Lord has done. We thank You for the example of Mary and how we can apply it to our lives. We have a lot of questions for Mary. We don't know all the answers. But give us a heart of purity and a heart of a servant, heart of praise as we face the coming year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.